Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, until I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, until I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
it's you living.
We all under attack,
it's you different.
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gangs got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my appeals dead, they took the road. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it, really trying to be about it. Never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was
prepping him back then?
Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma,
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed,
may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature
of the crime.
I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and I repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
And in translation, we seek refuge in Allah, God, from the evil of the devil, the rejecter. In the name of Allah, God, we are here today. All praise and thanks belongs to Him. And we are grateful to be here today, truly, as we proceed. Welcome, everyone, to Point of Impact. That's right. Here we are on the 21st. Of August on a Sunday night. Y'all know what we do every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Me and my girl, Krista, my sister, Krista Ellison, in this pain, in this cause, as we strive to enlighten and, you know, give people a broader and clearer understanding of the difficulties and complications and the challenges of incarcerated people and their returns to society. But most importantly, to break that myth that 53% of African-American offenders return back to prison after 2 years. Well, we're here to break that myth, as we've been showing consistently. Chris, are you with me?
I'm here. How you doing?
Hey, baby girl. I'm all right. And we have a wonderful man, a mentor of mine, a brother by the name of, I like to call him Sheikh Dr. Naeem Akbar. And this brother, he is coming to talk to us about post-traumatic prison disorder, as well as the issues of, you know, these challenges that are met of mental health by many of women and men who return to the free society and dealing with the barriers that are in their way. And also he's here to talk to us briefly about that resilience of getting through and remaining strong. Mr. Naeem Akbar, are you with us today? Naeem, are you there yet? Oh, we don't have him online yet. We also have a wonderful brother.
Can you hear me?
Infinite. Yes, sir. Okay, there you go, Sheikh. Okay, welcome to the show tonight. Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And also we have, ladies and gentlemen, Brother Infinite, who will be joining us. Brother Infinite, are you with us tonight? Brother Infinite? Okay, he hasn't called in yet, but hopefully, inshallah, be at the will of God, he'll call in real soon. But let's just kick this show off tonight. And we also have a wonderful person that we're going to introduce you to, which we're going to introduce you to a little later on in the show, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? And but let's kick this show off tonight, and let's get right into the soup here. Let's get right into the soup. Assalamu alaikum, man.
That's what I am.
I've been waiting a long time, brother, to have you in the audience here, you know, to have an audience for you, you know. It's wonderful, you know, to see us this far. You know, we talked about this many, many, many moons.
Yes. I remember those walks that we used to have, man, and
you know,
talking about what we would do when we get out to further positive initiatives in the community, man, and that we would one day hook up together and do some things. And Allah has blessed us to do that.
That's right.
Allah has blessed us to do that, man. And I tell you, and I'm so thankful, but I'm so proud of the things that you're doing in your area, and I'm doing some things in my area. Of course, I'm in North Carolina. Of course, I did 12 years in Virginia.
Yes, sir.
Got out September. You never forget the day that you get out. September 2nd, 2015 is when I walked out of those doors at Deerfield Correctional Center in Deerfield, Virginia.
Yes, sir.
And it was during that time, even before that I made a determination, ask Allah, God, if you release me from this situation, I will show you that I deserve these blessings. And
yes, sir.
I got out because when I was in, they had abolished parole in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have, unless you do 85% of your time.
Yes, sir.
So that meant that I wouldn't have gotten out until 2028.
Yes, sir.
But Allah blessed them to rescind the abolishment of parole, and anybody was that became eligible went up for parole. First couple of years, it was just you had to do a written application.
Yeah.
And my first application was 22 pages. And I know nobody was going to sit down and read no 22 pages. But then, a couple of years after that, matter of fact, a couple of years after I became eligible, they changed the law and said that anybody that applied for parole had to see a parole examiner in person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then I said, alhamdulillah, praises be to God for this. because I just need to talk to somebody. and it happened that I met with the parole examiner, spent about 45 minutes with him, which was basically unheard of, because guys would go and spend 10, 15 minutes at the most with these guys, but I had a lot to say. So this was in March of 2015. So I actually was released I got my answer back May of 2015, but I didn't get out until September.
Okay.
They was messing around. But I never lost hope. The thing was that I had been granted parole, and I had the paperwork that said that. So I said, it's only a matter of time. Allah had some more work for me to do while I was in.
Well, Sheikh, not to cut you off, but now, you know, you were responsible for a lot of the implementation of Community United Focus, my program, and you were responsible for a lot of what people don't realize. You were actually one of the people behind the scenes who helped a lot of the young men that we hear of today, Paul Taylor, Dawu Kennedy, Locks, Shaw, all these brothers, Infinite himself, all these brothers that you impacted, and you not only impacted those who were doing reentry programming, but you also impacted the system in a whole. You were part of a lot of changes in the system. Can you briefly, real quickly, tell and enlighten the people on some of the things that you helped implement? What about ultimate change in the system?
Yes, I can. And you saying that, I remember Rashid El-Amin.
Mm-hmm.
He had filed a lawsuit against the Department of Correction, against Department of Corrections, and to set up an Islamic library. We did things like make our holidays, our Eid
yes,
feast, the feast after Ramadan, and the feast about 2 months after Ramadan. We began to get these things on a regular basis. They would sometimes give them to us, but they wouldn't, their hearts wouldn't be in it. But I used to tell brothers, you got to beat them down with paperwork. I was a stickler for that, putting it on paper, articulating what you wanted. Take it to the top of the rung, and something would happen in inshallah, because we didn't just submit it to the prison. We submitted it to the Department of Correction in Richmond. And so
and
I said that in doing that work inside, while we were inmates, have that same kind of spirit when you got out.
Not to
come out like with your hat in your hand talking about, oh, can you help me? Can you do this for me? No. Come out and let that incarceration serve as an asset to you and not as a liability. You go to people, get involved in the community, and you tell them, I have something for you. I have something that the community needs. And you begin to show them what you what you have and what you can do, and it would improve your lot in the community. People will be beating down your door asking you to get involved in things. As you know,
let me ask you real quick, not to cut you off, but now you're coming to speak. We have a rally which we're having, which is to empower the youth as well as to let people know that we will be in the war of reentry till the war is won, with 40 Strong, Ignite Justice, and Freedom Over Everything, and Community United Focus Cuffs have united together to have a rally next on the 28th. You'll be speaking in that rally, right?
Yes. I've been blessed
inshallah.
To be able to speak, inshallah. And what I want to speak about is the trauma of incarceration, that trauma that you go through, and all
yes,
of the
sir.
Things that cause you to have traumas. And some of this thing goes back to our childhood, and we call that adverse childhood experiences or ACEs, things that happened in our childhood that we never resolved. It comes
yes,
back
sir.
Years and years later to make us do things that ordinarily we wouldn't do. I'm going
yes,
to talk
sir.
About trauma, but also I'm going to talk about resilience, being
yes,
resilient, and resilience, for a better word, is just being able to bounce back from the trauma
yes,
that you experience. Bounce back.
Yes,
and next week, I'm going to share some tools with the people
mm-hmm.
there that will help them in that effort of bouncing back from trauma. And that's the work
yes,
that I, that's the work that I do now. That's the work that I do now. I
yes,
give
sir.
Community awareness presentations. I teach training classes, two-day training classes, and hopefully next week we can organize a training class that that we can have that I can share with the people in Virginia. In Virginia, as a matter of fact, you took that two-day training class, and
yes, sir. Yes,
so
sir.
It helps you. It really really helps you.
And I can definitely express that, you know, that class was so impactful to me progressing to where I am today. And thank you so much, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward you for always, you know, you've always been an inspiration, more like a father figure to me and throughout my term in prison as well as outside. I want to allow my co-host to maybe ask you a
question. Yeah, let me just
yes.
ask the question. What was one of the takeaways from the class that was really impactful for you?
What was one of the takeaways for me was that I never really understood what my reinforcement was, and when I sat in the class with him and started to get to understand that, you know, resilience is this reinforcement. You know what I'm saying? This is what this reinforcement was. It was resilience that I was projecting in order to move myself through the trials and the boundaries that I was being faced with, you know. And when the tools that they provided you with, man, I'm talking about things that you wouldn't even contemplate it, you know, like the muscle of the brain. No.
Yeah.
You want to explain that more, Sheikh?
Yeah. Well, what we do, we show how the brain impacts the trauma that you go through. And the brain, we do a hand brain model that describes different areas, four different areas in the brain. And when these areas kick on, we got a part that deals with emotions. You got a part that deals with the smoke alarm. Whenever you're in danger or feel some pressure, it goes off, and it throws your brain out of whack. And as long as your brain is out of offline, we call it. As long as it's offline, you're not going to hear anything anybody trying to tell you to get back to your thinking brain, because that's the thing. When your brain goes offline, we use the tools that Brother Minhard just mentioned to get your brain back online. And that means getting it back to the thinking brain. Because if your brain is offline, you don't hear nothing. There's no communication going on. Whatever somebody is saying to you, it sounds like that Charlie Brown language. Wah, 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 wah. You don't hear anything until you get your brain back online, get to that thinking brain, and that's when new learning starts. That's just a brief overview. But in the classes, we go through the whole concept.
And I would like, go ahead, sis. That's what I was wanting to get back
to. I was just saying that's deep. I can relate because, you know, when people are in defense mode, you kind of black out or, you know, and then you, a lot of times people have to tell me what I said or what I've done. So I get it.
Brain is offline and you don't hear anything they say. You don't even know what you're saying.
Right.
So, you know.
Brother Infinite come on yet? Did he get to us yet? No? Oh, man. Well, I'm missing him. We'll hopefully be at the will of God. He'll be attending the show before we leave tonight. Now, Brother Naeem Akbar, I'm glad you're getting to meet my partner, my protege, my sister, Krista. She's the executive director of Freedom Over Everything. And, of course, you know Nadir. You know Nadir, and I don't know if you know Katie and OJ, who are also three of the founders of these are the two founders of Freedom Over Everything. These brothers are inside doing a lot of the work. What advice can you give to other brothers who are inside or their family members who are striving to support their family members inside who are trying to implement programs of reentry, programs of self-upliftment, programs to address, you know, post-traumatic prison disorder? What kind of advice can you give the family members outside to support these brothers and sisters who are trying to implement these programs?
The advice that I would have for family members is when your loved one is taking steps to do positive things while they're inside, support them. Give them the support that they need. And that doesn't always mean monetary support. Just let them know that you have their back when they, you know, when they come out. Sometimes, you know, it's limited when brothers are trying to do work and design programs and plans inside. Sometimes they are limited in the research that they can do. Ask your loved ones when you know that they're doing this. Ask them, is it any kind of research that you can do for them that you can send them to help them write up those proposals and programs? Because I did that, you know. When I was there, I wrote programs, I wrote proposals, and those proposals that we submitted as a Muslim community, they weren't denied because they were so professionally done. You have to think like those folks think, and that's why I always tell brothers, beat them down with the paperwork. Also, now, it didn't hurt that I had a bachelor's degree from East Carolina University in North Carolina when I was incarcerated. So nobody is immune from incarceration. You just got to make the best of that time when you get there. So I was educated, but I also knew the outside language too. I knew that street language. I knew how to communicate with people. So, yeah. But the loved ones supporting.
And you knew how to cook the meals too to draw us in.
That was one of the things, man. Make a big, delicious meal. You got everybody. Everybody would be waving and sweating when they ate my food because I like that spice. They'll be complaining. Hey, Shake, it's too hot, man. It's too hot. But nobody turned the bowl away. Yeah. So that was in developing that camaraderie. Another thing is that I was an inmate advisor.
Yes, sir.
Which means that when guys got disciplinary charges, I was one of the guys that defended them. And that was my job. That's what I got paid to do. And I did that for 6.5 years. At Greensville, and
yes,
I beat cases that would seem impossible to beat. That's because I studied all the rules and regulations and the technicalities that could get brothers off. I don't care how guilty they might be, and I had some of the correctional officers that wrote the charges leaving the room, shaking their heads. And they began to call me Mr. Akbar. And on the camp, they called me Johnny Cochran. I could beat a case. So it's those kinds of things. It's developing those relationships with people. Developing relationships and having something to offer them. And a lot of times all brothers want to do is to for you to listen to them. Listen to them. Just talk. Because in that situation, a lot of times they don't get a chance to expose their deepest feelings. And when they get somebody that will listen to them and offer them comments sometimes not even advice, but comments about how to do things better, it was a step forward.
Okay, well, at this moment, thank you. At this moment, I want to introduce you to another, I hope he's here. Infinite, are you with us now, brother? Are you there? Krista, do we have him? Well, we're trying to get our other guest tonight on. I think he's having trouble.
Can you hear me?
Hey, Sean.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Brother Infinite. All right.
Yes,
please.
Please. How are you doing, brother?
Did you, you know your brother Naeem Akbar is on the line? And, you know, did you happen to hear some of the discussion we was already having and attending to?
Unfortunately, I was running behind, you know, with the market stuff. I just got to the house, and I'm here, but I'm aware of Brother Naeem, Dr. Naeem Akbar. That brother helped enlighten me as he enlightened many of us that were behind those, you know, those walls.
Yes, sir. And that is, a lot of times people don't understand, like, I always tell people, and this is why, you know, I've come with the theme now of Till the War is Won, because the relationships that I developed in the what I like to call the barbed wire city was tremendously impactful throughout who the man I am today. As, you know, These are the men, the mentors, Infinite. Dr. Naeem Akbar, Sheikh Dr. Naeem Akbar, you know, many brothers, Paul Taylor, you know, Prince, Locke, you know, I can go down the line. So many guys that impacted me becoming the man I am. Can you express more to how that gave a lot of us a little balance from the depression and the trauma that we experienced, Brother Infinite?
Yeah, of course.
Those relationships, how it helped us?
Absolutely, because like most, what I found with most human beings, we all have feelings. We all have a sense of awareness of ourselves, no matter how minuscule or how large or how in-depth. And coming into a prison environment, it was almost, I can only speak from a personal point of view, it was like a culmination of all the traumatic experiences I had ever since I was like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old.
Right.
And the life that I led in response to that, not knowing anything about schemas or any of that psychological terminology, all I knew was that I was angry, I was hurt, and I didn't want people to know how hurt I was. And so with the limited ability to have the skill sets that I had, I'm talking about my maturation of self, you know, I acted out in maladaptive ways. So when I came into the prison complex, and I say this to everybody, the first experience that I ever had was at Southampton Correctional Center in 1986. Mm-hmm. And that experience was, there was a sit-down going on, right? And I had never been exposed to anything like that, not even when I was in society. And I immediately connected to it, but for the wrong reason, because it was just an outlet at that time for me to express that pent-up anxiety, hurt, pain in a way, but that wasn't what was going on. They wasn't rioting or anything. They was forcing dialogue. You know, it was a higher sense of awareness. So speeding up, I was intrigued by that. So I found myself searching those type of men out in that environment who were organizers, and I seen that they had some sense of respect and the camaraderie, and they seemed to be in a space that was different from where I was, but something that I remotely remembered. And that was my introduction to what I consider to be true brotherhood, because it was different men of different backgrounds. There were Christians, there were Muslims, there was, you know, all manner of facets of religious people, 5 percenters and all of that. And they were communing together, and they were working together, and they were organizing, and they were changing the environment. But what it came through was that I heard them talking about their experiences, their feelings. I come from an environment where that wasn't expressed in that way, verbal,
right?
You know, to try to identify or to relate to someone else's sense of whatever it was that they were going through. And so that put me on the path to meeting brothers like yourself, Brother Geronimo, Brother Willie, the Paul Taylors, and all the rest of them. Ubeda, you know, and so, yeah, that was my first shocking experience to people actually acknowledging openly that they had issues that was affecting their lives and their sense of peace.
Yeah, and, you know, it's amazing that it's like we all had that kind of occurring event. You know, I know that when I came inside, I had a lot of pent-up anger due to my, you know, my incarceration and, you know, the circumstances behind my incarceration. But it was, you know, in meeting brothers like yourselves who gave me guidance, you know what I'm saying, gave me guidance, and then from the guidance gave me tools that I can work with in order to, you know, continue to grow as a man in prison. Krista, anything you want to add on, sister?
No, Chris? Not at this moment. No, I'm okay. Good. Not at this moment.
Also tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a young lady who had, her name is Amber Stevens. Jay Sean, I just send you her phone number. Can you dial her in? Because she's having trouble getting in. Can you dial her in, bro? But she did, she's the founder, along with her husband, Derek Stevens, of Incarcerated Lives Matters. You know what I'm saying? And they had a wonderful event, which gave out food and back-to-school supplies for their children. And we're gonna also introduce you guys to her in about 5 minutes, okay? Her and her husband. Now, Naeem, Infinite had shared with me that he had a letter that you had literally wrote to Brother Rashid. Is that right, Infinite? Is that Rashid that he wrote that letter to?
Yes, sir. Ross, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the letter was, it was important because me and the brother Rashid were real close and he saw how I was traveling by that time, and he pulled out this letter that you had wrote him, Dr. Akbar, and it was like you were basically expounding upon your experience going on to the college campuses and, you know, what you were seeing, you know what I mean, the disconnect between some of the youth and their black identity and how that reservoir was steadily being depleted, how they were dressing on down to how they were speaking to one another, you know, like pants hanging off the hind parts and all of these.
Yeah.
And you, and that was very, you know, poignant in my life, because first and foremost, I had studied your work, you know, for years, and it helped guide me. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity literally to speak to you now, not like a groupie, but like a man that was pointed in the right way, the right direction to find myself and my connection to my people. And so it was profound for me, first and foremost, to know that Rashid was connected to you like that. And secondly, to come across something that you were speaking in layman terms, but it was like listening to an elder just looking back, coming from out of the past and looking at the present and like, yo, this was not what we were talking about. This is not what you spent all those years studying and digging and finding those hidden, intentionally hidden jewels to bring back to us, to, you know, to revive us, so to speak. So it was very profound, and I was very touched by it. And thank you.
Yeah. You're so welcome. And I always found joy in especially helping the younger brothers, because even before I was incarcerated, I served as a substitute teacher in the school system here in North Carolina, and I stayed busy. It was like I was a full-time teacher, but I didn't just deal with the young people when they were in school. I formed a group. I asked the principal at this middle school, I said, give me the worst students that you have. Point them out to me. Give me those students that nobody can do anything with. I want to start a group with them. And I started an after-school group with them and hopefully turned their lives around, because we went up to the General Assembly to see how the people make laws, and we went to the, for those that weren't interested in going to college when they finished school, went to the employment places, the factories, the production plants, on a tour just so that they can know. You might, when you see how these people work in here for the little money
that's
they
right.
get, you might want to consider going to college
where
you don't have to do this kind of work. But, you know, my thing was that I exposed them to things and then let them make up their own mind. I ain't try to force nobody this way or that way, but just give them the opportunity to make their own choices. And I love that. And I did the same thing when I was down, when I was incarcerated. I did the same thing and tried to do that, tried to give guidance and based on my lived experience. Because you can tell a person what to do and how to do something, but if you didn't live that experience, they'll look at you sideways. You know how them brothers is behind that wall.
Yeah, they ain't trying. You ain't walk nothing, and you sitting here trying to tell me about something. I ain't feeling it. You know. And,
But
I definitely want to. At this moment, I just want to really, really thank you both, man. You both are very powerful men, and that's something that I really want to, you know, get people to understand. We have to return the power. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, it's situations like that that deplete us as men. And as African-American men, we have a great deal of struggles that we have to overcome, as well as, you know, internally and externally. But I thank you, brother, so much. At this time, I just want to recognize a few people real quick. 40 for Justice, Brother Free, and Ignite Justice. Miss Emily and Miss Jennifer and my main man Deuce, and of course my peoples, my love, my peoples who I love dearly, Nadir, KD, and OJ, and my sister Krista Ellison, Freedom Over Everything, and my team, Community United Focus, Miss Victoria and Miss Dr. Beverly and Melanie and Bianca. You know, I'm just so grateful to be involved with the type of things that I'm involved with these people and the movements that we're out here in these communities. Outside from working hard, taking care of our families, you know, we're doing the first thing. We're taking care of first. Allah tells us in the Quran in chapter 6, verses 66, he says, save yourself, then your family, and then your community. You know what I mean? So, and we, you know, we should all realize that we have a responsibility to safeguard our community and do all that we can to better our community. And that leads me right to this young lady right here. Miss Amber Stevens, are you with us?
I am. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. And is your husband, Mr. Derek Stevens, with us?
He has not called me yet, so no, he is not on right now.
Okay. Well, you want to share with us what you were able to, by the grace of God, all praise and thanks belongs to God, Allah, for what you were able to accomplish over the weekend? You want to share with us real quick?
Well, our organization had a back-to-school event for the community where we distribute food every week, every Saturday. And so we just wanted to give, like, it's just pretty much a thank you to them for all their support, just to make sure they come out every week and support our organization and helping us with distributing. So we were able to pass out 273 backpacks to families, and we had meal balances, we had food, we had a whole truck full of groceries and household items. And they were just more so just for people to be able to come and have a good time, because it's in the area where we work. A lot of them are not.
What area is that, ma'am?
This is Richmond Highway, Alexandria, Virginia.
Okay.
So, like, a lot of them are not. They're illegal down there, so they don't have much. And some don't speak English, you know, in poverty. So,
wow.
I was thankful that we can come out every weekend, pass out the food, but it was just a plus. Good energy, no drama. People could come out, just have a good time, share it with their families, and to get to know us, and we can get to know them.
Wow, that's, you know what, when I first met you at the Ignite Justice event, And I've seen, like, this sister packed me up with groceries. I had to tell her, hold up there. I didn't know what I was going to do. So, I mean, that's wonderful, the work that you're doing. Tell us a little bit about Incarcerated Lives Matters. What is, you know, who founded this organization and what is your purpose?
So myself and Stevens and Derek Stevens, which is my husband, we founded the organization. We put the organization together because there was just so much injustice in the prison system. And for the organization at the beginning, it was to help, you know, the men and women fight their issues in the prison. But we've seen that there's so many people who do that, but there's so many people who only do that and don't provide the support to them as well. So really, they're fighting, but they're not helping. Inside way. So we just missed that whole turn. I was like, well, let's support people, but also, you know, help fight for them as well. So that way, for men and women who don't have, like, money on their books. So there's a lot of people in prison who can't really afford anything off the commissary or order anything extra. So that's when we come in and, you know, we will send the money to them, or if they need something, we'll try to provide it to them and their families as well. So, like,
okay,
they have to provide Christmas gifts, we'll deliver food, anything that they need, they can just call us. If we can help, if I can, I really try to find other resources out in the public that I know to see if they can help.
That's amazing. That's wonderful. And I thank you so much for giving me your time and giving me an opportunity to introduce you to the society and the community out here, to let people aware and know what you're doing here in the state of Virginia. We work hard to enlighten people here in the state of Virginia as to the things that impact them, policies, legislation, things that they can do to help improve the issues going on, not just inside but also outside, because you made a very valid point. A lot of times the organizations are helping to change the issues, but they're not helping the individuals inside who they're looking to change those issues for. So you're so right, because that is a necessary need. And it's also important to support the families out here who their family members are incarcerated, because there are a lot of single mothers, a lot of single fathers, a lot of grandparents who are carrying the weight. You know what I mean? Who are carrying the weight. You know, Sister Krista, anything you want to say, sis?
Yes, just to piggyback off of what Amber is saying, I always say, you know, a lot of people will say they fed 100 families, write it off, and, you know, say that they helped. But if and half the stuff in the bag, most times is not edible, is outdated and stuff. But if you, like Amber is doing, you know, cater to the absolute need of that person and give them an empty bag and allow them to fill it up themselves, then I can agree to feed a hungry 100 families. So I really commend you on what you're doing, Amber, and, you know, keep up the good work.
And we're here to support you any way that we can. Community United Focus Cubs, freedom over everything. We down for you. Give us a call. You know what I'm saying? And let us know in any way that we can be there to assist you. You know, just give us a heads up. We got your back. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we got, you know, we have like 11 minutes. So I'm going to start with you, Brother Naeem Akbar. In like 2 minutes, can you just express how, you know, what your agenda is in the next couple of weeks, or what you're trying to establish, anything that you like to enlighten us on that maybe we can all benefit from?
Immediately, you know, next Sunday, God willing, I'll be there with you, speaking on the program, and I sort of travel every, and you know that the work that we do, we definitely couldn't do it without finances. So a lot of times I will speak to the people, philanthropists, that give money. I have an upcoming event with the Kate B. Reynolds Trust Foundation. They fund programs all over this country because they got the money. So I'll be doing something with them on September the 20th and 21st. I'll be part of a training team that's doing the Rural Opportunity Institute's 2-day training. And anyone that's interested, can go to the website, ruralopportunity.org, and hit on the training icon, and you'll be able to register for that class.
Okay.
And usually the classes will cost anywhere from $260 to $290. We provide it free of charge. So that website is ruralopportunity.org, and hit on the training icon and you'll be able to sign up. That's about all I have for right now. I'll share some more stuff next week.
Okay. Thank you, Sheikh. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
I love you, Sheikh. Thank you so much. May Allah reward you for giving me the opportunity to have the pleasure to, you know, be able to moderate this broadcast with you today. I love you so much. You don't know how much you have emphasized in my life. I think you do. We spend a lot of time talking.
We
spend
a lot of time together. So yeah. And I appreciate this honor, because it's an honor to be here, to be able to take part in this program.
Thank you so much. Yeah, because a lot of times, listen, I'm gonna tell y'all straight up, the brother had to grab me by the collar. with my temperament when I first came into that place. He was instrumental in me, you know, really changing my life, and I appreciate it. Brother M, is there anything you would like to say to the people of upcoming events and things that you got going on?
Well, thank you for that opportunity. I've recently been promoted at Community Unity in Action. I'm now the manager of the Health and Wellness Ambassadors. So on August the 28th, we're having what we're terming a table talk in Gilpin Court. And we're asking all the people to come out and participate, because this is about self-empowerment, community empowerment, entrepreneurship, and just general connecting to our people in a way that we may have not been doing for a long time. We also are now resourced to the point where we can offer ambassadorship positions. So people in the public housing areas in the Richmond area for right now, you know, they can contact me at 804-389-7621. That's 804-389-7621. And we're looking for ambassadors in these communities to be a part of making the transition and being able to identify the issues in our communities so that we can resource them ourselves from the grassroots level and basically change and take our communities back. So that's what we got going on right now.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, that is wonderful.
Once an ambassador, always an ambassador is what I was told.
That's right.
I too am an ambassador. And worked under that same program in Gilpin Court. I was actually supervisor of Gilpin Court as an ambassador,
right.
So I know it's much needed, and the program is a grassroots, boots on the ground organization that is most definitely there to do the work for the people. So I'm 10 toes down. I support the ambassador program.
Thank you, sis. We appreciate that. Most definitely.
Once again, I appreciate you, Brother Infinite. As always, man, your energy just radiates through me. As you know, I'm a great admirer of you since the day we met.
Brother,
I'll never forget that day we met. You know,
Yes, sir. I really appreciate that, brother. But I'm a closed mouth don't get fed. So, Brother Akbar, if I could stay in contact with you, brother, because there's a lot of other things that we got going on that we can also possibly, you know, connect on and really make some headway in the changes that I learned reading your books, brother. And I'm not going to blow this opportunity, so I'm asking.
All right, okay. Well, get in contact with Minhaj. He'll give you my contact information.
Yes, sir.
I got it. Yes, sir. Sister Amber, are you – Sister Amber Stevens, are you still with us? Okay, she must have – okay, we must have lost her. Okay, alhamdulillah, we got 5 minutes here. Everyone, I would like for you to please, if you have nothing on your schedule, on Sunday, August the 28th, from 12 to 6 p.m., please come through, support the rally. If you have any, they're also having a back-to-school giveaway. So if you have anything that you can bring to support any child that may need, please, we invite you to bring it out. Anything that is of, that would be of importance for them or them to utilize in obtaining the proper education and things that they need while going to school this year to begin a fresh new year of schooling, please come on out. We will have, free food. Everybody can eat. We will have bounce houses and things for the children. And we have plenty of speakers. Yeah. Plenty of speakers that are going to be talking on a multitude of topics. You know, it's not just concentrated on one topic. As you see, we got the brother Sheikh Naeem Akbar coming through to talk about, you know, the post-traumatic prison disorder, you know, which is post-traumatic stress. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to be also, like he said, talking about resilience and how to implement that resilience and the tools that you can use in order to tap into your resilience. You know, and then we have my main man who will be emceeing the part of one half of the show. His name is Shaquille Ali. Please come and see this, brother. Please, I'm telling you, you are missing a fountain of wisdom. If you do not come and listen to this profound brother who will be emceeing, we also have another very profound brother that I love dearly, brother by the name of Edward Sims, who is the founder of You're Worth the Fight. Thank you, brother. If I'm getting old. You're Worth the Fight.
Yeah.
And we also have another man by the name of Clay Marquez, who is coming through. Clay is the founder of Stop the Violence, Guns Down here in Norfolk. This guy works very hard, very, very diligent, him and his team. They're always helping the community, giving back, and striving to encourage the youth to stop the violence. He will be speaking. And then we have also Delegate Jackie Glass, who will be coming through talking about the importance of community and how it is important to empower the community with knowledge of the, you know, issues concerning politics and how you can help change laws and policies. So, you know, these are the profound speakers that we have invited out. There are many, many more. Also, we have the founder of the Defenders of Justice in Virginia, Mr. Phil. I never could pronounce his last name properly, and I don't want to say it wrong. Yeah, Mr. Phil Waleto. And this is a brother, you know, my sister Krista said to me that this is a person that really should be honored, and I have to agree with her. This guy is a pioneer for the African-American community and changes in the African-American community, as well as prison impactful policies and things like that. So, so listen, Community United Focus is also having, we're setting up events to begin the new year. We're also looking to establish some events, a Freedom Over Everything Community United Focus. We have some events coming up within the four months. So just pay attention and be clear. We'll be posting it on Facebook. I wanted to really extend this to 15 more minutes, but I don't want to exclude anybody from the links. So, Krista, is there anything you want to say in closing real quick, sis?
No, I think you hit on all the points. I just really enjoyed our time today. Very informative information from our guest speakers. And I just hope everybody be blessed.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And everybody, please stay safe. Jay Sean, real quick, you got anything you want to holler?
Well, now, you know, another great show, man. Everybody just stay safe.
I'm good enough. Well, y'all know what we do. You know, as I always say, man, take the time right now. Don't hesitate. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Take the time right now to do something that will benefit you in this life, as well as the hereafter, that will benefit your family, and that will benefit your community. We love you all. Community United Focus, freedom over everything. Point of Impact, next Saturday. We can't wait to, excuse me, next Sunday. We can't wait to see you, speak to you after the event. So please, stick with us. Give us a call. We need your support. Let's support our brothers and sisters, those who are trying to do the right thing, and let's keep it moving, okay? Love. Everybody right. Stand strong. Assalamu alaikum.
Love you,
peace.
Brother. Wa alaikum assalam.
I love you too, man.
Good night.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Shalai, young sis.
I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make your pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future's scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you won't wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.